Buddy decided to purchase a new chainsaw one day when he went to Home Depot and said hello to Norma. And Norma said, good, have a good time with that new chainsaw. So Buddy took the chainsaw home, and the first day he only got half a cord cut. He's going, boy, this is a lot of work. So he worked a little harder the second day, and he only got a cord and a half of wood cut. He said, this is not going like I had planned. So he took the chainsaw back to Home Depot, and he said, this is not working very well. So the salesman went and he looked at it, and then he started it up, and Buddy jumped back. And he said, what is that noise? He didn't even know how to start it. He did it all by hand with the chainsaw. Well, the point of it is that sometimes we try to do things without the power to do them. God has given us the power to live a victorious Christian life. Sometimes we don't realize the source of power. We try to overcome life's problems by ourselves. Then someone shows up and tells us about the source of life. And we do everything we can to know this source of life, who is Jesus Christ. There are two ways to know about God. One way is by human effort. We try to figure out who God is. The second way is through God's grace and revelation. Think about, first of all, the useless human effort to know God. People try to know God by their own power. Look at verse 2. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. This describes the people that had come into the city of Philippi, and they were talking about doing things the human way. What this describes is religion. Religion is trying to do things by human effort. Different religions essentially seek to do the same thing. Think about Buddhism. Buddhism is all about emptying the self through meditation. Confucianism is to live morally upright. Hinduism is merging the self with the god Brahma, who is unknowable. Islam, professing faith in Muhammad, God's prophet, and obeying the laws of the Quran. Ancient Judaism, obeying the law of Moses and offering sacrifices at the temple. Catholicism, doing the sacraments, being baptized as an infant, saying the rosary, going to confession, and taking part in Mass. People are fed up in the world with religion. When they hear about Christianity, they are turned off. They don't like Christianity. They don't like the church. But if you talk about Jesus, they are interested. People don't want religion. They want relationship. The Philippians and other early churches like the Galatians and the Ephesians faced the problems of false teachers who would come in and start preaching a gospel of works. The term Judaizers is used to describe those who adopted Jewish religious practices and sought to influence other Christians to follow these Jewish practices. The Judaizers followed Paul around from church to church, and they taught a salvation by obedience to the law. They wanted all males to be circumcised. They followed the regulations of the Jewish law in order to be a Christian. They kept certain Jewish holidays and festivals and rituals. In verse 2, Paul uses some very strong language here to talk about these people. In order to wake up the Philippian church, he calls them dogs. Dogs were not nice little pets you had sleep on your bed at night, or that you petted when you came home. No, dogs were like the ones out here on the street that you want to stay away from. They were looked down upon in that day and age. You did not want to be called a dog. Also evildoers and flesh mutilators. The basic problem behind the Judaizers was that they put confidence in the flesh through obeying the law. The yoke of the law is very heavy to carry. It's a heavy burden. Being a legalistic Christian is no fun. The deeper issue that Paul addresses here and in other letters of the New Testament is that we cannot be righteous before God by following a set of rules. We cannot be right before God by obeying the law. The order is always being comes before the doing. We cannot do enough to get into heaven. This is a really easy thing to misunderstand when it comes to the New Testament and the Bible. The Bible talks about not about doing to get into heaven, but about relationship. The doing comes later. Just like Paul wrote in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. He says, to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. There are people today who think that they are followers of Jesus by going to church on Sunday morning, or saying a ceremonial prayer before a meal, by being busy in church activities, or by obeying their parents or their teachers, or avoiding certain kinds of behaviors. Those things are good, but they won't get us into heaven. Those are the doing. The doing comes out of the being. The human tendency is to think that we can be spiritual by our own power, our own achievements, our own pedigree, our family, by keeping church rules, by giving money to missions, or education, or church attendance, and the list goes on. We think this will make us look good before God to get us into heaven. These are all good things, but they must be put in the right perspective. They must be put in the right priority and order in our lives. The working out of our salvation is the response of faith, following the promises that God has in Christ Jesus. Like the Philippians, we must be careful of people around us who teach wrong doctrine. There are many heresies around us, and most of those heresies are either about works righteousness or a wrong understanding of the Trinity. The best defense against the false teachings around us is to know the truth of the gospel. And Paul lays out the truth of the gospel very clearly in this passage. In verse 3, he gives the clear choice. He says in verse 3, "For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh." There's our two choices. We either glory in Christ Jesus, or we put confidence in the flesh. Paul begins with describing his own struggles in trying to please God by his own efforts. So let's look at this. The useless confidence in the flesh, verses 4 to 6. Beginning in verse 4, Paul gives his resume of spiritual accomplishments in the flesh before he became a believer in Jesus Christ. Now these are pretty significant. These are like top of the line Jewish qualities. He was circumcised on the eighth day. That's what the Old Testament law required. He was of the tribe of Israel, God's chosen people. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. This was the favorite son of Jacob. The first king, Saul, came out of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was highly educated. He knew Hebrew. He knew the Old Testament. He was an outstanding example. If you wanted to know what a Jew should look like, Paul was it. As to the law, a Pharisee, he kept it very rigorously, both the written law and the oral teachings. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, Paul was passionate for God, and he believed the early Christians were a heresy, and so he was out to destroy the early church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. He was as good as it came. Paul was a good Jew. He was a model Jew who, from a human perspective, had it all. He was the poster child of first century Judaism. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 14, he says, "I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age, among my own people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers." When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, recorded in Acts chapter 9, everything changed. Everything changed in his life. He now had a different perspective about life. This change is simply stated in verse 7. "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Paul realized that he could not save himself by all these religious things that he was doing. He could only be saved by knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. And so in verses 7 and 8, he talks about how everything was a loss compared to knowing Jesus. The word loss occurs 3 times in these 2 verses. Anytime you see a word repeated in the Bible, especially in just a couple of verses, you know it's very important. This word loss is important because it shows how Paul put everything else secondary compared to knowing Jesus Christ. In fact, in verse 8, he uses the word garbage. Now, garbage is not just like the nice paper you put into the trash can. This is the stuff that's been sitting in your kitchen all week that smells. Or it's like the dirty diaper I found in the men's restroom 2 weeks ago that stunk up the whole building. I thought it was the septic tank, and it turned out to be a dirty diaper. That's the kind of garbage Paul is talking about here. So let's reread those verses. "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost," 3 times, "all things. I consider them the dirty diaper sitting in the Sunday school area, that I may gain Christ." Now, I'm being a little over dramatic here, but that's what Paul is saying. All these qualities that he had, he treated them like garbage in order to know Jesus Christ. Not everything in Paul's past was bad. It just came from the wrong source. Paul lived his old life by his own strength and his own understanding. He lived his new life by knowing Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life must lose it." The same word, lose it. "But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." If we want to know Christ, we need to lose it all. This attitude is the core requirement of the sanctified life. It is not optional. It's not for the super Christians. It's not for the board members. It's not for church members. This is for everyone, from the youngest to the oldest. This is the Christian life. This is for us all. This is God's call for us, is to be found in Christ. We become God's people not by regulations like circumcision or church attendance or any other religious activity, but by faith in Jesus Christ alone. If we think we have to do all this stuff to please God, we are mistaken. If we say that we have to do all these things to be a Christian, then we're saying that Jesus did not need to die on the cross for us, because we can be righteous enough on our own power. Something more is needed than what we can give God. What is needed is the cross of Christ. For us today, we may think doing churchy things is enough, but it's not. What is enough is Christ. So let's look at trusting in God's grace by being found in Christ. There's a new type of circumcision, not of the skin like during the days of the Jews, but a circumcision of the heart. Something needs to be cut out of our heart. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all of your heart and with all of your soul and live. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Turn to the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. In him, that is in Christ, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Jesus came so that we might know him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him. Jesus came so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. He is the true God and eternal life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things to pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Our goal in life is to know Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 8. What is the result of this? Verse 8, Paul says, I have considered all these things rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. One result is to gain Christ. It is hard to give up our lives, but we must consider carefully what we will receive. We give up in order to receive Christ. We gain Christ. Second, we are found in him, not by my own righteousness. It's not a privilege or a position of position. It's open to everyone. This is an invitation to everyone. It's not based on the law. It's based on God's grace. We can be made right with God because of grace. God can and will forgive us our sins. He gives us new life. He makes us new creations in him. He gives us the gift of eternal life. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness and makes us holy. He gives us life after death. When we compare all these things to the empty promises of the world, who would want the world? I don't want the world when God gives us all these things. When we lose all to Christ, we find all in him. To work out our salvation means to locate ourselves in Christ, not in the things around us or things that we think we need. When he is in control, he will guide us down the right pathway. We need to have total trust in him, that the Holy Spirit will lead us down the right path and teach us the right types of behaviors that we need to have that are consistent with knowing Christ. And a third result is that we become like Christ. Verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. This is a powerful verse. Very powerful. In fact, I think it's one of the top 10 powerful verses in the entire Bible. We need to look at it deeply. Our goal in life is to become like Jesus Christ. In what ways do we become like Christ? Number one, in resurrection. This is a present experience that gives us victory over sin and temptation now, Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have victory now. We live in resurrection power right now. Second, in suffering. Now this one's difficult. This is a difficult one. We cannot expect to know the full power of resurrection unless we suffer. We can endure suffering because of Jesus Christ. The New Testament teaches a lot about suffering. It tells us that we will suffer. And it is through the suffering that our faith grows. It is through the challenges that we face that we learn to trust in God more. In fact, it is through suffering that Christ is filled up more in us. And third, in death. To die with Christ means we must die to the old self. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. The way of the cross is the way of life. Living out the cross-shaped life. This is a passive verb, actually. Look at this again. Paul says, becoming like Him in His death. This is a passive verb. This means that we are being conformed to His likeness. That's a better translation here. We are being conformed into the likeness of His death. This shows us that it is God's work in us to conform us to the likeness of Christ's death. We don't just simply crucify ourselves, but God is working in us so that we die to the old self. That's pretty deep theology. I could spend a whole hour talking about that. That's very deep. In other words, we must merely submit ourselves and let God do the work in us. He will do the work in us to conform us to this likeness of resurrection, suffering, and death. We lay ourselves down and He works through us. We can just look at Christ's own example of this. If we are going to become like Christ, then we can go back to chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, where Christ became a servant, gave Himself up on the cross for us. He sets the example for us in humility, in total trust in the Father, in obedience, and in self-emptying. The more we share in Christ's suffering and death, the more we are conformed to His likeness. The more we are shaped into His likeness. The more we will experience the ongoing power of His resurrection. How does this happen? It happens by knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. Knowing Christ transforms the person who knows Him. By knowing Christ, we are changed to become like Him. We replace the struggles with victory. We replace the doubts with confidence. We replace eternal condemnation with eternal life. The most important goal that we can have in life is to know Jesus Christ, my Lord. The Bible talks about two types of knowledge. There's the type of knowledge about something, and then there's the type of knowledge of something. For example, I know about the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth. You know, I read about her in the news, and I know a little bit about her. But I don't really know her, do I? But I know Rhonda. She's my best friend. We've known each other for 34 years, and we've been married for 30 of those. I know her pretty well because I'm in a relationship with her. There's a lot of people in this world who know about Jesus. In fact, in Guam, you ask someone on the street, are you a Christian? They say yes. They know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. There is a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Him in relationship. To call Jesus your Lord requires humility, submission, and trust. It requires laying yourself down before Him and saying, I am yours, Lord. Our final goal is in verse 11. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Our goal in this is to get to heaven. We want eternal life. And there's only one way to get eternal life, and that is to know Jesus Christ. Sadly, in our world today, we hear preaching that the Christian life is about power, wealth, health, and prosperity. Our modern life is saturated with materialism and self-indulgence. This is far from the gospel that Paul the Apostle preached. Brennan Manning wrote this, "The pattern is always the same. All roads lead to Calvary. We reach life only through death. We learn tenderness only through pain. We come to light only through darkness. We must be formed into the pattern of His death if we are to become Easter men and Easter women. The only way we can experience resurrection is by the way of the cross."